We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
So, I love Christmas. Anyone else love Christmas? Yeah. Christmas just gets me excited, and I'm so excited to do this. And as Pastor Chad said, you know, we can get a lot of takeaways through our everyday journeys of dinners or movies or conversations at work or school that we can see God working through those conversations. And so that's what we're doing with the movies. We're pulling stuff out that we can get these takeaways that we can turn into something that God would be saying to us. So let me tell you a little bit about Ralphie Parker. He's a 9-year-old boy who is in desperate need for this Red Ryder BB gun, and he will do whatever it takes to get it. He takes ads and slips them into his mom's magazine. He talks to Santa. He writes a report about it at school about how amazing it would be and how perfect his life would be if he could just have this BB gun. It would change his world. But every time he tells somebody that is a grown-up, they say, "You'll shoot your eye out." And even though they say that, Ralphie still continues to dream this dream of what he desperately needs. So check out this clip. Sorry, not yet. Just kidding. It reminds me. You are on it. Good job. I went ahead of myself. I'm sorry. It reminds me to protect our dreams. We need to be protecting the dreams that we have. Ralphie has to write a paper at school, and he has to write it anything he wants. And so he writes it about the Red Ryder BB gun and how amazing it is. And he really, really believes that he's going to do amazing on it. And his teacher is going to be like, "Yes, this is the best thing in the world." And he has this, there's a clip where he has this fantasy of her like, "Oh, Ralphie, this is amazing. Oh," and so it's really funny. So now let's check out the screens.
All right, class. I have your Christmas themes for you. I'm pleased. In general, you did very well. However, I was disappointed in the margins.
Oh, this is it. C plus. Oh, no, it can't be.
C plus?
No. You'll shoot your eye out? My mother must have gotten to Miss Shields. There could be no other explanation.
You'll shoot your eye out! You'll shoot your eye out!
Was there no end to this conspiracy of irrational prejudice against Red Ryder and his peacemaker?
These multiplication questions were most missed in our last math test. Would you answer in unison, please?
I was surrounded by happier kids who were all going to get what they wanted for Christmas.
56.
Poor Ralphie. He thought he was going to get an A on his paper, and he didn't. He got a C+, and he actually had these visions of shooting robbers and saving his family and becoming a hero and being popular at school, and everyone was going to love him. And then this just crushed his dreams again. So what we can get out of that is that not everyone is going to root on your dream. That when you think of Joseph and all the dreams that he had and how his brothers hated him for it and didn't like it and they weren't for him, but he still went on because he heard from God and he did exactly what God asked him to do. And even though there are times where Joseph may have been like, "What is going on? This is not the way it was planned," but it wasn't the way he planned it in his mind with the visions that he had. It has to be the way that God plans it in order for it to work out perfectly. So don't rush what God is telling you to do and really pray about it and talk to somebody and make sure it's actually from God and it's not just some dream you have stirring up in your head, and allow him to lead you and don't rush to it to get it quicker, because you may still get it, but you're going to go through a lot of bad stuff to get there when you could just do the smooth transition to get to the dream that God has put in your heart. And make your plans, but be prepared for it to change. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." So growing up, not as a child, like in high school when you have to start deciding what you want to do with your life, I really wanted to be a psychologist and really help girls with eating disorders and depression and kids that have gone through divorce and things, and a bunch of stuff like that. And it was always just this desire I had in my heart. And I remember having all these younger girls, a grade or two under me, that would just like, we would just like latch on. I could be anywhere with whatever event I was at or chorus class, whatever. And they would just latch on to me. And then helping them through different situations. Some of them had broken homes. Some of them weren't as popular, like kind of like the wallflower. So, you know, just taking them in and mentoring them, but not realizing that's what I was doing back then. And so the plan I had for my life of being a psychologist changed when I got in my car accident. I broke my two vertebrae in my back, and I literally had a stack of makeup work this big. And I finished it, but like I graduated high school through the skin of my teeth. And so all those desires of going to college and all that, I was like, nobody's gonna take me. So I went a different direction and still got a good job, whatever, and all that stuff, but it wasn't what God had been putting in my heart. I still did, but I didn't go for psychology is what I said. Yes. So I still did. I just didn't pursue what I had been dreaming. I went the easy route. And when you fast forward like 21 years, I've helped girls with eating disorders. I've helped people, kids, girls with depression. I've helped through divorce. I've helped through all these things. And then when you look back, it's like God wasn't stirring in me to be a psychologist. He was stirring in me the direction that he was putting me in to be a pastor. But I didn't know that. And back then, I didn't even know that the only pastor type thing I knew was Seventh Heaven. And so so even though they were married, I still didn't know, like, are you supposed to be here? So that was never even on my radar to be a pastor. But it's really cool to look back now and see, like, way back when I thought it was this, and it actually is this. So you can keep dreaming with God, you can keep having these dreams, but make sure you're talking to people that are going to encourage you, give you wise, godly counsel to make sure that you're not just flying off the deep end with some crazy idea that's going to just hurt you. And when I think about another lesson from this movie is dealing with pressure. You know, have you ever been dared to do something? I'm sure you have. I personally don't like to play truth or dare because I don't like doing the dares. So I always do truth, and then if I don't want to say what it is, then I just say, I'm not playing anymore. But, so I don't play it often. My girls always want to play, and they're like, come on, do a dare. I'm like, truth, truth. But I'm sure there's other of you that love all that stuff. Have you been triple dog dared? For those that used to do the triple dog dare, that was like the dare of all dares, and if you didn't do it, then you just like were at the bottom of everything. So maybe your dares or your pressures haven't been that extreme, but we have all been pressured in something. So check out the screens.
You're full of beans, and so's your old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I double dare you.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Huh, are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Well, I double dog dare you!
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right. Come on, Karen.
Well, go on, do it.
I'm going.
Flick's spine stiffened, his lips curled in a defiant sneer. There's no going back now.
This is nuts.
Come on.
before? Good. I have a friend growing up, and her brothers dared her to do this, and she liked dares, and she did it, and that's exactly what happened. So number two brings us to don't fold under the pressure. The world pressures us just to see if we'll do it, creates a spectacle, gives them something to laugh about, something to watch, and we need to protect ourselves from those triple dog dares because it put him, Flick, onto a pole because his pride also got in the way. He was prideful and he didn't want to be, he got pressured. So the pressure and pride caused that. So we need to be very careful about the situations that we're in and are we getting into trouble because we don't want to be wrong, even though he clearly was wrong and his tongue got stuck to the pole. So even our friends can get caught up in the excitement. You know, a lot of like younger friends, younger youth that you can be in situations where it's like, oh no, that's actually really cool. We should really, yeah, do it. And then there's the other side of it where you're actually pretty scared of becoming the victim and them picking on you or them daring you to do it and you don't want to have any part of it. So then you become the silent friend like Ralphie was, just standing there in amazement like, I can't believe he's doing that. What did he do? But then leaving him because he didn't want to get in trouble. So saying nothing is just as bad as going along with the crowd. And I remember being really young, like elementary school age, and things happening, and I didn't say anything. I didn't want to be a part of it because I didn't want to be the victim of it. And so rather than saying anything, I just let things happen. And looking back now, I realize I allowed things that I shouldn't have happen. But back then, I was too scared, and I didn't want what happened to them to happen to me. And so let me just say, with an introverted extroverted that I've talked about before, that just because you're introverted doesn't mean that you shouldn't be sticking up for people. Just because you're quiet doesn't mean you should be the one going, all right, well, that extrovert's going to go up there, and they're going to take care of it, so I'm going to stand over here and just wait and see what happens. Because I understand all that stuff. I'm a little bit of both, and so I understand the feelings of like, ooh, do I say it, do I not? I don't know. It's just this feeling that takes over. But that's not an excuse for you. And the same goes for going and talking about Jesus to people, because God calls us all to go out into the world and make disciples, not just the extroverted ones in the church, while the introverted ones go, you do your job, and then I'll be a smiling face on the other side. Because everyone needs to have Jesus, and everyone needs to know how much he loves them. And our personalities, it doesn't matter. And like I said, I'm speaking to myself, because I get it. I get all those feelings, but it is not an excuse. So Mark 12, 30 through 31 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. So we need to love our friends. We need to love the people that we don't know. We need to stick up for them and be a trustworthy friend for the friend that's in a hard time, so that when things go bad, they know they have somebody there. Psalm 138:7 says, though I am surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You will reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. So God's always with you, and he's always encouraging you and leading you in the right directions. He's protecting you, even if you don't feel like he is. You need to just continue to follow his direction in those moments of pressure. You may be in those moments where if I don't do this, then I'm going to lose these friends or I'm going to lose this situation. Don't do it because it's not worth what's going to come out on the other side. Just remember that God's always with you. Let's check out this clip.
Okay, Black Bart, now you get yours.
Shut my eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
You'll shoot your eye out. You'll shoot your eye out.
Ralphie, you be careful out there. Don't shoot your eye out.
She hadn't seen. She didn't know. My eyes are right. The BB must have hit my glasses. My glasses. Oh, no. Where are my glasses? Few things brought such swift and terrible retribution on a kid as a pair of busted glasses. pulverized. For a moment, I thought, I'll fake it. They'll never know the lens is gone.
Oh, no.
Rapidly, my mind evolved a spectacular plot. Let's see, an icicle, yeah, falls off the garage and hits me in the eye. It would work. It had to work. Quickly, I whipped up some tears.
Ralphie?
So, number three, what we want isn't always what's best for us. Ralphie really wanted this BB gun, and it really wasn't what was best for him because he actually ended up almost shooting his eye out, having to make up an excuse to save face so that his mom didn't take the BB gun away from him. The desire and the reality that often presents itself is once we get what we think we want so badly, ends up not as good as what we thought it would be. That there's so many times, right, that we're like, oh, if I could just have money for this, if I could just go on this vacation to an island with blue water and white sand. Just saying. That would make me happy. But, you know, if I have a car, get that car or that job or that this or that, that it's not unless God is in it that it's actually going to fulfill you. Because have you ever been going through a really hard time? And then say you go away on vacation, and vacation is great because there's no work, there's no school, there's no bills, there's nothing. And it's amazing. You're like, oh, I'm so refreshed. And then you come right back, and all the problems that you had left are still there. Because we haven't fully dealt with it. We need to allow God to be in the center of that and fulfill all those feelings that we're having because it's Him that we need and not the things that sound really cool. So until we give up the idea that our happiness is going to come from a husband or a wife or a car or a thing or somewhere, happiness is never going to be where we are. It's always going to be attached to that thing. And when we leave that thing, we're going to go right back to where we were if we're not immersing ourselves in God, in the things that He wants. You know, there's a lot of times that we want to make God like this super crazy cheerleader, like, yeah, go. Or this army fighter with the BB gun and shooting out all of our problems. But then there's other times when we just put Him off to the side where, yes, we still love Him. He's still there and He's so important to us. But, like, I don't have any problems right now. So you can stay over there. And when I need you, I'll let you know. And then we can connect again. But what we really need to, like, check daily is, are we actually spending time with God? Or are we only going to Him when we want or need something? And the need doesn't always have to be bad. It could be like, I really want a car for Christmas. God, make a way for me to get this car for Christmas. I don't need it, but I want it. It could be that. Or it could be bad, but are you always going to Him with your agenda and never thanking Him for the things that He's done? Or just spending time with Him, not talking. Worship and just let God talk to you, because if you're talking too much, you're not even going to hear what He's trying to say to you. So we just need to pray extra hard. When we know exactly what we want, pray to Him and allow Him to speak to you, and then He'll decide and show you the way to follow that route. You know, and everything else will fall into place, and I know it's really hard in this world that we live in to 100% trust God sometimes, because it's like, it's so much easier if I just do it this way rather than waiting for this. But when we do that, we start to go in the direction of, we think we know this is how it's going to be, and then it turns out it's not how it's supposed to be, and then what we think we're supposed to be doing ends up becoming this big mess just to get where God wanted you to be in the first place. So we need to ask Him to transform our minds and to see the way that He sees and love people the way that He loves, because if you don't love people, you need to love people. And it doesn't mean you have to be a hugger, because I'm not a big hugger, but I'm working on it. I'm getting better at that. But just really just allowing Him to transform your mind in every area so that you can become softer and be more open to have Him speak and control how you feel and think. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track, and don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. So we need to trust God through all these circumstances. Have you ever been in situations where you're like, how is this happening? It's been one thing after another, and you're either gonna laugh about it or you're gonna cry about it. I do both. Some things I cry about and some things I just have to laugh. Number four, we're gonna keep it together when plans come undone. When things don't go as we planned, we need to have control of how we react. And isn't it true that when all is right in the world, that's when something always happens? When things are going great, all of a sudden something bad happens. So I don't have the clip, but there's a scene in the movie where you saw her slapping his hand about the turkey because he kept wanting to eat the turkey, but it wasn't cooked yet. She's like, you're going to get sick. So that's why he was running in and out of there. And they had these crazy neighbors with these dogs, big dogs. And the dogs somehow got in their house and got to the turkey. And the turkey was on the floor and they devoured everything. And their Christmas dinner was ruined. Can you imagine that? Like preparing this amazing feast for your family and your friends, and then these dogs come in and destroy it. I mean, you may have a dog at home. Maybe it's happened to you. I don't know. But it ended up ruining their Christmas dinner at home. They chose to go to a Chinese restaurant and eat there instead, and then they still had a great time with their family because it's not about what we have and what we're doing. It's about who we're with and who we're celebrating. So when Christmas comes around, it's all about the planning. So I know, I'm sure most of us are like, okay, on Black Friday, we get the Christmas tree, then we decorate it, then Christmas presents go up. Okay, we're going to start movies on December 1st. How do we watch every single Christmas movie before Christmas is over? Haven't figured that out yet, so if you've done it, let me know. But there's always these plans. What are we going to eat for dinner? What am I going to buy this person? What do I want for Christmas? I don't know what I want for Christmas. The list goes on, and I'm one of those listers. I love to make lists, and it doesn't always mean that I'm always planning everything. It just means I really enjoy writing lists. And so I decided one Christmas that I was going to surprise Pastor Don and Pastor Nita, my in-laws, that I was going to make these Christmas cakes that his mom made his whole life. And I didn't realize the undertaking that was about I was about to partake in. So one of the cakes is a coconut cake, and it's not just coconut from a bag and a box of cake. It's cake from scratch, coconut that you actually have to drill a nail in, empty out the coconut juice, smack it with a hammer, pry it off the shell, and then grate it. And so I had Band-Aids all over my hands the first year. So I go to make it, and I'm also trying to make this chocolate one that has marshmallows and all this stuff and the frosting I had to make. So I'm trying to do two things at once. And when I pull the cake out for the coconut cake, you know, you're supposed to let it cool, and then you flip it, and it's supposed to come out as this beautiful cake. Mine didn't. Mine came out, and it was and it just all over the rack. And I'm like, what just happened? So then I'm trying to, mold it back into shape cake. Yep. And then the problem is the frosting. So you have to make the frosting from egg whites. So that was another. I'm like, what is this? So I'm making it. And then the recipe says you put the frosting on and then put coconut, which is normal. But then you have to put more frosting on top of the frosting and the coconut. So I'm trying to spread it, and then there's pieces of cake rolling up in it with the coconut. And it is this mess. And I'm like, it's fine. No one's going to see inside it. So I go to grab the other cake, expecting this one. All right, I'm going to at least have a good top to the cake, and no one will know. Well, I didn't, and it broke in half. And so I was like, okay, so I push that one together, and then I'm doing the frosting, and then I run out of frosting. And at this point, it's 6 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve. I'm like, I can't start over and make a new cake or more frosting. What am I going to do? And I was like, I have cups. I'm going to use cups and turn these into parfaits. So I took all of it, and I took the leftover stuff, and I mixed it all up, and I just started putting it, and they happened to be Christmas cups. I told Chad, I was very proud of myself that I thought to put these in cups rather than just throwing the whole cake away. So I put them in cups, and then I just decided nobody has to cut cake now. Everyone can just, self-serve themselves a cake. And it tasted great, and I do now know how to make the cake well without that happening. But in that situation, I could have been so mortified and embarrassed because I'm going to bring this crazy cake to their house and it's supposed to be a surprise. Or I can just go with the idea of, let's just laugh about this because life happens, right? And I made parfaits and it's good and it worked out great. So how well do you deal with losing control? Because I lost control and I had to gain control back. Are you the type of person that loses control and just freaks out? Or are you the person that loses control and can just like, okay, let's take a minute and just figure this out? Because after all, our plans are our strategy to control our situations. So for me, I'm pretty chill. I can like have a situation happen. I mean, tragic things, those are different. But situations like this, I just laugh about it. You know, we just ordered a dining room table and we were at the store and we're like, yes, we love this set, let's do it. And then the lady was like, okay, great, but the chairs will not be here till possibly Christmas Eve. And you know, we do Christmas dinner, whatever. And so Chad's face, I just saw him and I was like, but in my mind, I wanted to be like, oh, well, that's okay, because we'll just use fold-out chairs if we don't have the chairs. But I didn't know if I should say that in the moment. So when it was over, I was like, whatever. Because to me, in my mind, I'm like, we just make the best of whatever happens. So we just need to remember that in those moments to just have some, even if you have to walk away and step away from a second, because once you are no longer really upset about the situation, you're going to get a different perspective, and you're not going to be so like, what do I do, what do I do? It's just no, step back, how do we fix the problem? And that happens not just with baking and cakes, it happens everywhere in your life. Anytime there's a situation, you can just take a step back, all right, God, help me to calm down and find a situation, and then he's always going to come through with you. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. So, you know, another thing, I didn't plan on getting in a car accident. That was something that was unplanned and not in my plan. I didn't plan on doing that. But God used that because actually Pastor Chad was in a car accident 2 months prior. And that was the one thing that like made us have something in common enough to talk about. And so I'm thankful for that. It was worth it. So we just need to remember to breathe and don't allow all the chaos of Christmas to overtake what Christmas is really about. Because Christmas really is about Jesus and about what God did. And everything else is just the pretty wrapping paper on top. And we can still have fun wrapping presents and watching super cheesy Christmas movies. Has anybody seen Ernest Saves Christmas in this place? Yes, yes, yeah. Oh, we got lots of them this service. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out. Or maybe you're not, but all of us think you should see it. So the last thing I just want to say is that be sure that you have Jesus as part of your traditions. Like we have decorating and we have all these things, but you need to actually make sure that it's got Jesus in it. So what we've been doing since the girls were babies is we do birthday pancakes. And we put candles in them and we sing happy birthday to Jesus and do like a little birthday party. And then Chad will read the Christmas story after breakfast. And it's just something to remind us, but then also if you have kids to remind them, it's not about Santa and presents and food and all the other things that they're doing. That it's about Jesus, and that's the most important thing, that if they don't get that big thing that they want, that's not what it's about. God is the best present, or Jesus is the best present God could have given us. So my hope is that the next time you watch this movie, which if you didn't know, is on for 24 hours from Christmas Eve to Christmas Day, you really have no excuse not to experience this movie at least once in your life. And don't listen to the haters that say it's not a good movie, because why would it be on for 24 hours? Just saying. So my hope is that when you watch it, you'll get some good laughs, and then it also reminds you of the different things that we were able to pull from this movie and how it'll help redirect our life into a different area. So let's choose to stop following our desires and give it up to God and see if it's his plan for us, so that we don't shoot our eye out.
Yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.